This is an interview with Mrs. Ingrid Wooger on Sunday the 29th of August 2010. So, can you tell us when and where you were born?
I was born in Dortmund, Westphalia. The date of my birth is 24th of June 1924.
And what was your name?
Ingrid Wolf.
Ingrid Wolf.
W-O-L-F-F.
Can I just ask you just very briefly, as a child growing up, you gave us a little sort of bit of background, but what was it like? What was it like where you lived?
Have you got in Dortmund?
Yes.
I had friends, yes. I went to a Jewish school, so I had no problem at all. And in Dortmund, some of my friends who I've lost contact with, I have no idea where they are from school. They were sent to high school, secondary school, and it was very bad. They had to sit in the last row on their own, and they all came back to the Jewish school, which was an ordinary school, not a high school. But our headmaster was a very, I would think, very, very clever, or looked into the future, and he could see that emigration was imminent. And he said, I know you would like to learn many other languages. You can have French lessons in the afternoon privately, but I want to teach you English. And we had English at school every day. He said, it's more important because wherever, if you emigrate and wherever you go, English will be a useful language, mm-hmm. whereas French, not necessarily.
And so very he was quite insightful then.
Yes,
he
I think,
was...
yes, I think that was...
What was ahead?
Quite a,
and that was your secondary school?
No, that was an ordinary school, the Jewish school in Dortmund.
So when did you start learning English?
In that school.
How old were you?
Yeah, 11 or 12. Right. And then we went to Hamburg. Eventually we lived in Hamburg, where I also had English lessons at the school. Also a Jewish school. You just could hardly afford to go to a non-Jewish school.
Have you gone back?
I've been back to the town where my parents originated, the little town, and I had no problem at all. I've been to Dortmund and I couldn't get out quickly enough. I had no happy memories there because there was nobody to speak to, nobody that I knew at the time was there. And I didn't want to, I wanted to go back to just see where I had lived, I'd grown up. Mm-hmm. And I was very unhappy there. I went to Friedrichstadt in Schleswig-Holstein, and I had happy memories of being with my grandparents and with my parents, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I had no problem at all. And funnily enough, Friedrichstadt was started by a Duke Frederick there were people in Holland persecuted because of their religion. And Duke Frederick said, I've got a piece of land that needs draining, and I know Dutch people are good at draining land. You can have that bit of land. And these Dutch people went to Friedrichstadt and started the town, all the immigrants from Holland. So Friedrichstadt is built very much like a Dutch town with very gabled roofs. And I have lots of happy memories there.
Sounds very picturesque.
Mm-hmm. It is a very picturesque little town.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I spoke to you just before we turned the tape on, and I was going to say, when did you first come to Scotland? But you told me that you came to England first.
That's right.
So how old were you when you came over?
I just turned 15.
And why did you go to England?
Because a family by the name of Dixons, Mr. and Mrs. Dixon, guaranteed for me, and they lived in Ashby de la Zouche. The Dixons were Christadelphians, and there was quite a group of Christadelphians in Ashby de la Zouche, and they took in children younger than me, and they were very good.
Did your family knew this family?
No, we didn't.
So how did you have contact with them?
It was all through Kindertransport. It was arranged. We eventually, although I grew up in Dortmund, eventually my parents thought it would be easier to find emigration in Hamburg, where we had a lot of family. My parents came originally from Schleswig-Holstein, very near the Danish border.
Okay, so this was arranged through the Kinder Transport.
It was all arranged through Kinder Transport, which happened to be very active in Hamburg.
And you were just, how old, just under 15?
Just 15.
Who were in your family unit then? Who did you live with before you came over when you were
My parents. I just lived with my parents in Hamburg.
Just you on your own?
Yes, I'm an only child.
Ah, right.
I have no brothers or sisters.
Okay, so they found out through the Kinder Transport.
That's right.
And you could come to England.
That's right.
How did you get over then? How did you travel?
By train to the coast in Holland, and then by boat over to Harwich, and then to London, where not the Dixons, but somebody else from the organization, the Christadelphians, a Mr. Overton, found me in Liverpool Street Station, where we all arrived.
When you were traveling, did you know any of the other?
I didn't know anybody, and it was very hard. I'm sure I'm not the only one who say that, to say goodbye to your parents at the station in Hamburg. I will never, never forget waving goodbye to my parents while I was on the train and they were on the platform running along.
What year was this then?
That was 1939.
So it was 1939
yes,
then?
Yes, that was the 4th of July, 1939.
Okay, so just a couple of months before the war broke
That's
out.
Right.
So when you arrived
in Liverpool,
you were met
by a Mr. Overton,
okay,
who was also from the group of Christadelphians who had arranged to bring people, children over, boys and girls. And there were quite a few in Ashby de la Zouche, but I only met one couple because I was asked by the Dixons, what would you like to do? And I said, could I go back to school? Oh, no, no, you're over 14. Girls over 14 don't need to go to school anymore. But I was asked, would I like to earn some pocket money? And, of course, when you're a guest in somebody's house, you say, yes, thank you. And I would have loved to go into, I've always been interested in medicine, and I would have loved to go into nursing. But Mrs. Dixon put me off very quickly. No, 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 you need to wash walls and you don't want to do that. I have a feeling she was afraid I might have to go and live with them. And she was all right, but Mr. Dixon was much kinder. And
Did you spend there then? How long did you
Not very long. It was a matter of a few weeks, and they found me a job as a children's nurse in a huge house. Well, we eventually came to, there was Patrick, who was 18 months old, and I became charged, well, looking after Patrick.
So you were a nanny?
I beg your pardon?
You were a nanny.
I was a nanny, well, so-called nanny.
Yeah.
The young couple who had Patrick, because war was imminent, moved in with the in-laws, who lived in a huge house in Sneersden. When I say a huge house, in those days, to have a swimming pool in your garden,
wow,
was not exactly a little house or poor people, and there were other staff. The listeners were very kind to me and treated me very well.
Were they Christadelphians?
No, they were not Christadelphians. Mm. But they were very kind, but there was other staff, because it was at such a huge house, other staff, and I think they felt why, as far as they were concerned, Jewish didn't come into it. I don't think they'd ever met any Jewish people. But as far as they were concerned, I was German. And that did not stand me in good stead. So they felt probably, why does a stupid German girl have a job looking after a little boy when one of their friends probably could have had the job?
How did you learn English then?
Well, I had a little English at school. And it helped me, and that was another thing was held against me. How can I look after a little boy who's learning to speak the language, and my English was not perfect?
Right, so
obviously
a lot of people around were feeling resentful.
Very resentful, but the listeners were fine. The listeners were very kind, and because I looked after Patrick, I had breakfast with the family, and that was held against me, and afternoon tea, I looked after Patrick, and I had with afternoon tea with the family. But my other job was obviously to wash Patrick's nappies. In those days, we did not have throwaway nappies. We had nappies that had to be washed. And I did that.
So I sense at that time then you were quite happy and content in one area of your working life there.
Quite happy
but
there.
You were aware that there were people around you that were a bit resentful about having that
position. Yes, but I had a job, I was quite happy there, and Mr. Dixon would pick me up on my half day and take me back. I was in the Dixon's house on my half day, and Mrs. Dixon would take me out shopping if I wanted anything.
So you were treated fairly?
Yes, I was treated very fairly.
All right, so then what happened from there?
From there?
You were in England. You were working for this family.
Family.
And things were going along. The war was on.
Yes.
Did you have any other contact at that time with any of the other Jewish refugees?
No, none at all. I didn't have any contact at all. My half day was spent with the Dixons. And at night I was taken back again to my workplace. And I did hear a week before war broke out that my parents managed to get to this country. And they were brave enough to come as domestics.
They made it out then and they got over here.
They got, yes, at least they got to this country. And eventually they found a job in West Kilbride, which is not far from Glasgow. Mm-hmm. And when they were settled there, that was about 10 months later, I would like to be near you. Can you get me a job near you? And that's how I got to Scotland.
I see. Okay, so you were sort of nearly the best part of a year then down in England.
Yes.
And then your
yes.
parents, they came over and they came to West Kilbride.
That's right.
Yes. You came up here to join them.
That's right. Right.
So this would have been, around about 1941?
All right. 41, yes.
So you came to West Kilbride and you all lived there.
Yes, well, my parents had a job in one house and I was in another house, and I was very kindly treated by a Mrs. Wright in a small place, not West Kilbride, but Porton Course. But unfortunately, because of the war and being of German origin, we had to leave. The policeman came to the door and said, "You can't stay here anymore. You've got to get out. You're not allowed to live near the sea or near any protected place, protected area." So we said, "Well, where do we go?" And through a certain circle, my father wanted to say Kaddish. He heard that his mother had died in Germany, a natural death. And my father said, "Is there a synagogue near here?" "Oh, no. But there's a Jewish man just down the road. Go to him. He'll be able to advise you." And that Jewish man was very kind and offered us his house when we had to leave West Kilbride. And that was in Glasgow, and that's how we got to Glasgow.
Do you remember his name?
Mr. Samuel.
He moved into his house.
Yes, that was in the West End. We lived there for a little while. My father was interned then. Most people were interned, men, also some women. And my mother found a job, and so did I, as a children's nurse again. My mother became a housekeeper in Cuthbertson's in Pollock Shields. And
what training did you have to be a children's nurse?
None at all. I just liked children. I just was very fond of
and
children.
And your mother?
My mother?
To become a housekeeper.
Well, she was always a good cook.
Right.
And she just said, instead of having somebody work for you, you do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, what were your impressions of Scotland at the beginning when you...
People were very friendly and very helpful. And while we lived in... what's it called? Victoria Crescent Road in the West End. We lived in Victoria Crescent Road in this house, huge house. And we said to, what was the man's name? It's gone out of my head just now. He was related to the Samuel, so quite well known in Glasgow. "It's very kind of you to offer us your house, but we cannot pay you any rent." And he said, "Mr. Cohn," I think was the name, yes. "When I come to Glasgow, you'll cook me a meal and that'll be fine." He was very, very kind indeed. They were not exactly short of tuppence, but they had a house in, as I say, in Glasgow, and a beautiful holiday home in West Kilbride on the Porton Cross Road. So, and they invited us, it was Pesach, and they invited us for Seder night. which was wonderful.
So were you aware that there was a refugee centre?
No, we met somebody in Victoria Crescent Road who said there is a refugee centre and they meet in West George Street. It was in West George Street at the time. Then they moved that flat. We met on a Saturday and that flat then was given up and they found somewhere in Pitt Street. And eventually the house on the hill on Soggy Hall Street.
So you went, you met there and met people there?
I met people there. And
did you make friends through that?
I met friends. In fact, I met Henry, who we married eventually.
So this is where you first met?
That's where
your
I
husband.
Met.
Okay, so you met him at this
at refugee centre, yes. Okay. And I met...
And how old were you then by that time?
16, 17.
Well, so you were very young.
Fairly young. And two girls I'm still friendly with, I met there. One went to America eventually, and one girl went to London. But we're still very, very good friends.
What activities did they have?
Angela, I think she worked in an office. And Eve, definitely.
Uh-huh.
Eve, her name was Elfie.
Uh-huh. And what did you do at the club?
At the club, we just had meetings. In fact, very interesting meetings. There were older people in this club who were students, and some were already doctors, people from Czechoslovakia and Austria and Germany. And we had very interesting lectures on a Saturday night. And on a Sunday, we would go rambling into the country. And that was quite carefree. It was the main thing to meet.
How many people were there approximately?
A lot. Henry might remember better, but maybe altogether 50, 70 people. Quite a lot of people. And there was eventually in this house on Soggy Hall Street, there was a cafe and you could have a meal that was affordable. They didn't make any profits. It was just enough to pay the women who were working in the kitchen. It was very good that you could eat there. But so, we didn't eat out a lot.
So during the war years then, you were between the age of about 15 and 21, yes?
Yes.
And you were working as a nanny,
Eventually, I got out of that. The club, the refugee club, gave me the courage to get out of that kind of work. It was very boring, sitting with a family at night and looking after a little boy. I wasn't ill-treated.
No, maybe a bit isolated.
Washing nappies, it was very boring. Mm-hmm. And as I say, the refugee club gave me the courage to go out, and I was always quite good with the needle sewing. And I got myself a job in a very nice dress shop, and I learned to do alterations. And at night I went to the school evening classes to learn how to cut out so that I was able to make garments.
To the patterns.
Yes.
Where was the shop that you worked in? Was it far from where you lived?
No, it was within walking distance. I was able to live in the youth, then the girls' hostel, which was in Renfrew Street, and the shop was just down the road at Charing Cross.
And your parents?
My father was interned, and my mother got a job in, again, as a housekeeper in Cuthbertson's.
So she wasn't far from you then?
Oh, yes, that was quite a bit away. I could only see her maybe once a week.
Right. Okay, so you were making a life for yourself.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and you'd already met Henry.
Well, that was later. No, not right away. No, no.
Just sort of during those years.
No, he was also interned. He was interned. In fact, he had quite a difficult time because during the war, his mother was still in Germany, and he wrote to his mother via Belgium and France, where he had uncles. And these letters were intercepted, and he was called a spy. So he was taken. He was far too young to be interned, but he was interned and eventually sent to the Isle of Man.
So you were working during the war.
I was
more than a seamstress, really. You were cutting patterns
and
learning
how to... No, that was for myself. No, I was only a seamstress in the shop. learning to do alterations to make things smaller if people...
Were you quite happy doing that then? Did you enjoy it?
Yes, well,
How did you get that job?
I literally went into the shop and said, I'm looking for a job. Do you need any help? And she said, I can only pay you 12 and 6. I remember that so well. And she said, you don't know, when I was young, I had to pay to be employed in a shop like this. So I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't pay. And I lived in the girls' hostel in Renfrew Street.
So you feel that the Jewish Refugee Club, the people there helped to give you the confidence?
It did give me confidence, which I had lost quite a bit. I felt very at sea.
Yeah. So when the war finished, when the war was over, you were 21?
No. Must have been about 21, yes. And by that time I was married.
So did you get married just before the war finished?
Yes, yes. 1944.
Okay, and then what happened then? What did you do thereafter? Did you work?
I got out of the shop. Well, I did some war work where I was called up. What would I like to do?
Is this in order to help you to become naturalized?
No, just because war work.
Just because war work.
You could either go into munition factory, but since I was able to sew, they said... you can sew in a factory where they make uniforms or parachutes. So I said, well, I think uniforms might be better. And I worked in a factory, Muir Taggart, in Albion Street, where they made uniforms. But where I worked, they made policemen's uniforms. A very boring job, but it was a job and you just get on with it.
How were the girls?
All right, they were, yes, they were not too bad.
Could you understand them?
Yes, just. Yes, they were, well, you could talk to them, but not a particularly intelligent conversation. Mm-hmm.
Did you, I mean, even then and now at any time, did you have any experiences of anti-Semitism?
No, I can't say that. No. Maybe anti-German during the war, but not really badly. When they heard why I was here, people became very friendly.
So you felt that Scotland was a good place to be?
Yes, definitely. Yes, yes. I'm very happy in Scotland.
So you were a seamstress?
Yes.
Did you think about studying to do something else?
I thought of further education, but I just couldn't afford it. So I eventually gave it up. But in the refugee club, there were, as I said, people who were older and had studies. Some were, well, more educated. And we had very interesting meetings on a Saturday night where people would hold lectures about medicine, which I found always extremely interesting. History, yes, quite interesting if you heard people talk about their own country. But I've always been extremely interested in medicine, and anything that came up in a meeting like that, I would be all ears.
And you said earlier on you would have liked to have trained to do nursing.
Yes, yes.
If you'd had the opportunity.
It just didn't work anymore because I don't think I could have earned enough, and it just didn't work out anymore.
So you were married after the war and you were...
No, during the war. Yes,
and then when the war ended after that, when you were married, did you start a family early on?
We knew we would not start a family. In fact, my parents finally got out of the housework, and that was just before we got married. And I said to Henry, my parents are going to rely on both of us, or me alone, to help pay for the rented flat, a furnished flat. They can't afford it on their own. So I was going to move in with my parents, and Henry agreed that when we got married, we would live with my parents, we would have our own bedroom, but shared the sitting room and the kitchen. And there was no problem at all. My parents welcomed Henry very much, so much so that I used to say, well, I'm the stepchild and Henry is the son, because whatever was being decided we'll ask Henry. And
so it worked out very well for you?
It worked out extremely well. Henry was accepted right away.
So how long, how many years, or how long did that situation last for?
Oh, we lived in the furnished flat. Then my parents bought a flat upstairs and we lived them. But then, yeah, eventually we had a little girl and we said we'd like a flat of our own, and we bought a flat not very far.
Quite nearby then.
Quite nearby. Because we got on extremely well with my parents.
Did you speak German with them?
Never.
In the house?
Never. Never. The only time Hen and I spoke German in front of Hillary was when was something we didn't want her to understand, want her to know. I can't remember what it was, but she said one morning, "I know what you're saying in that funny language." And there were no more secrets, so we said in that case we don't want to speak German anymore.
And what spoke with your parents?
No, I spoke English. I had a thing, I didn't want to speak German.
And at the refugee club?
I think mostly English.
So
yes.
We all felt
that we're in this country and we want to integrate as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. With friendships, did you have mostly Jewish friends or half and half with non-Jewish?
We had some through Henry's work. Henry's a chef and he worked in hotels or restaurants. And one family who lived in or live in Falkirk became the daughter, was gaining experience in a hotel. And she must have mentioned to her parents about us. And we were invited to Falkirk, to the family, the Morrisons, and they were not Jewish. And they were extremely kind. They could not have been more welcoming than they were.
So did you maintain a friendship then?
Yes, we're still friendly with the daughter who lives in Falkirk still.
You mentioned that when you came over, when you left your home to come over at the beginning, and you waved goodbye to your parents. Do you sort of reflect on that, how different things could have been had they not come over? You know, how do you feel?
Oh, yes, I was very worried. I was very worried that my parents might not make it in time because my father was taken into custody again into, well, it was concentration camp, but it was only a police station where he was for a few, I think, over a week. And he was accused of espionage. And he was free, and right away, they had permission by that time to come to Britain, to Coventry, and they just got out 1 week before war broke out.
So that
was very worrying.
It was worrying and close, but at least they got here
at the right time. Yes, at the right, they just...
So I feel
I'm very, very lucky because many of the kinder transport people never saw their parents again. Mm-hmm. So I feel very blessed.
Yes. You've lived in Scotland all these years.
Yes.
Ever since. So if you're thinking back over the years that you've been here, have you got some really strong, good memories that you could share with us? And then some maybe not so good memories?
No, when we did get married, even before we went youth hosteling, we walked from one youth hostel to another, but I found it very difficult to carry a rucksack. So then we were able to buy bicycles and we cycled from one youth hostel to another and had very nice holidays in youth hostels, met quite a few interesting people. So life just evolved and eventually we started. Yeah, Henry went, I was pregnant with Hillary and Henry wanted to, he had a cousin in Lyon. And you always wanted to go to Lyon to work in the catering trade in Lyon because it's well known for good cuisine. And we met Henry's cousin in Paris 1 year. And Henry said, "Well, you're always going to get me a job in Lyon." He said, "Well, come with me tomorrow." I said, "Just like that." And Henry said, "Well, given a chance, I've got to go." So he went to Lyon, got himself a job, and you can start next week. So he was there for 6 months in Lyon. He got leave of absence from the Grand Hotel where he was chef. Worked in Lyon for 6 months. And
did you go over while he was
no,
there?
No, I couldn't. I had to do my dressmaking to earn some money to pay the rent, share the rent with my parents. And he was back in time just for Hillary to be born. But I worked, I kept the things going here. We didn't know whether he would earn any money in Lyon. But he did earn a little, not very much, but enough. And he said it was an experience he would never like to have missed. It was really good. Mm-hmm. He worked in two.
It's a good opportunity.
Yes, and also in a patisserie. He said you can learn lots of things. He started at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he tells a story where he wanted to have a cup of coffee at 6 o'clock in the morning to start work. And he said, not at all. You drink Mark at this time of the morning.
And did he think the skills that he got in Lyon would be able to come, he'd be able to come back to Scotland?
Yes.
And use them?
Yes, yes. Some of it. Well, eventually Henry wanted to earn some extra money, and a friend of ours said, why don't you do the odd function? He said, function? What are you talking about? Well, so-and-so wants a party. I think it was New Year. And Henry must have been quite good at it because somebody said, who did your function? And, that guy up the road. And, can you do a function for me? Can you do a function for me? And eventually we got so busy that we started our catering business. We catered in, by that time we had a flat of our own. But
what was your involvement in the business?
I did a lot of baking. I had my mother's recipes and I did a lot of baking. Henry didn't do the baking. That was my job.
Oh,
but he decorated the cakes.
But you did the baking.
I did the baking.
Okay, so you would have been very busy.
Fairly busy, yes. Fairly busy.
So, have there been any lows? Anything?
Any?
Lows, any bad times?
No, you just get on with it. Mm-hmm. If there was a low, you... And our business was right to be kosher. We said, no, we don't want anything.
You made that decision yourself?
Yes, we did. And
is this because
we did for non-Jewish functions.
Yes.
And we told them that we could not give them milk in their tea after a meat function. And they said, that's all right. But nowadays you have vegetarian milk that is permissible.
You were telling me that when you both set up the catering business, you wanted it to be kosher.
Yes.
Is this because of your links to Judaism? What I'm trying to ask is,
have your links
been with Judaism? How important in your life has it been?
Well, when I came to this country, when I was in England first, people said, how did you manage your food? And I said, you eat what you're given or you go hungry. I didn't need to eat pork or bacon, but the meat was definitely not kosher. But you just get on with it.
So prior to coming over then, when you lived back home, before you came over here, had you lived...
Not 100%. My grandparents, yes. And I have very, very happy memories of spending holidays, summer holidays, with my grandparents. They both lived in a small town in the north of Germany. And I'm quite sure that was to the letter of the law.
Right, okay. But you still kept the traditions going?
Traditions, yes. But here, once I got here, you just, as I say, you eat what you're given or you do without.
And then later on, after the war, you were married. And I know you were talking about being part of the refugee club initially, but then throughout the refugee club,
yes.
Initially you were there, but later years... have you had an involvement in the Jewish community, apart from obviously the catering business in your well-known Glasgow?
Yes, people, in fact, we went to the refugee club, somebody said once, oh, you all keep yourself very separate. And I said, look, you must remember, we are visitors in your town or country. I cannot come to your door and say, may I come in? It's for you to invite us. And somehow, if you think about it, if you go to another town, unless you meet people, you're a stranger, and it can be very lonely. Mm-hmm. And we would have liked to mix with the Jewish community in Glasgow right away, but it wasn't that easy. They felt we wanted to keep ourselves separate, but we didn't. We wanted to be mixed.
It sounds like it's maybe a bit of a breakdown in communication in a way.
It was when I did dressmaking with a friend. One lady said, you know, there is a Jewish music society here in Glasgow, and I hear you always play nice classical music on your radio. She had something made by this friend and myself. And Penny and I joined this music society, and that opened up Glasgow Jewish community. We met other people, and it was a very welcoming affair.
So then you began to feel more part of the Glasgow
community. Definitely. The music society started it, yes, the Glasgow Jewish Music Society.
So have you made long friendships then with people here, Jewish people here?
Yes.
Apart from people that you met through the refugee club, then you became a part of the wider Jewish community.
Well, through catering then, and eventually, in any case.
What have you given? I know you have given back to Scotland and the community. Plesma, the skiing for
handicapped soldiers.
How did you get involved with that?
Oh, I don't remember. But we've been going with... We must have met someone.
So when did you start skiing?
Henry started skiing, many years ago in Aviemore. We might have met somebody there. I know Henry skied with blind people. There you have to go by the clock. You're 1 o'clock, you turn a little to the right. Mm. 3 o'clock, you turn completely to the right. And so on. That's how you ski with blind people. I think that's why how we might have got involved with Plesma, which is British Limbless Ex-Servicemen. It's a big organization where soldiers or ex-soldiers have lost a limb. And they need instructions. Plesma gives them recuperating holiday, I think once or twice, I'm not quite sure how often. And we've gone with them for many, many years to Austria, where we skied. Henry instructed them or skied with them. And Henry's an instructor, I'm only a helper. But I had quite a few soldiers who I helped to ski bob down the hill.
Fantastic.
And I got the name of Auntie Ingrid there because I helped one guy who quarter way down the hill, he said, I can't go any further. And I said, come on, we've got to get down the hill. I said, you have got a gammy leg and will find it difficult to climb back up the hill. I'm old. And I would find it extremely difficult to climb up the hill, so let's go down the hill. No, was the answer. So I said, well, let's go to the other side. And eventually, I got him down the hill, and he said, that was wonderful. It was wonderful. Can I call you Auntie Ingrid? And I said, yes. So ever since then, Plesma calls me Auntie Ingrid.
That's lovely. Tell me, do you still bake?
Yes, not a lot. I do.
And what about your own family?
We have two daughters.
Are they in Scotland or have they moved away?
One in Scotland, one in Edinburgh. Gillian, the younger daughter, husband and two sons live in Edinburgh. And Hilary, who married Paul, lives in London. And they have also two sons. So after two daughters, we've got four grandsons.
Very nice, lovely.
And very happy with our sons-in-law. We get on extremely well with them. So there's no problem.
Very good. Well, thank you very much. It's been very insightful. And yes, we're very grateful. Thank you.